Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's always a pleasure. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. Joan Pryde is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and she's here, too. And we're going to talk about what Kiplinger has to say about what's going on in the world these days. Joan, welcome back to the show.
Hey there, Jim. Thanks for having me back.
It's good to have you back.
Thank you.
Did you watch the debate?
I did. I was sort of in and out of the room, but yes.
It was a good debate.
I think so. I think it was a little bit... I guess I was hoping for a real, honest town hall format. I didn't really understand why the people apparently had to hand in their questions to Tom Brokaw ahead of time, and he screened them, and then he called on them. I was saying this morning that if it had been me and I was called on, I'd have asked a different question just to be difficult.
Yeah, you would have, wouldn't you?
I would have,
It wasn't really, it was more of a staged town hall meeting than a true town hall meeting,
That's
wasn't
not
it?
What I think of as a town hall meeting.
Yeah,
it really
but under the circumstances, I thought the both did well, and I was glad to see that. But I agree with you. It was unfortunate that the audience didn't really get to peel the onion back on these guys and see what really what really makes them tick.
I felt like the audience was more of a prop in that situation, and that has. And I'm not criticizing the candidates at all. It's not their fault.
No.
It was the way the thing was set up.
I agree with you 100%. And
you do.
And I completely agree. Well, I often agree with you, Joan.
Wow.
Don't you often agree with me?
Oh yeah, all the time.
we're like kindred spirits, aren't we, Joan? But anyway, I thought they did well, and I liked. I liked what I liked about it, and I guess maybe I was focusing more on the improvement from the last one. I felt like the last one was very stilted, and they were over there in their corners, and they were and McCain didn't do it as well as Obama did the first time to really kind of look over and challenge the other guy.
Right.
But I liked what happened yesterday in that they went back and forth with each other. And they got a little, especially I saw Obama got a little agitated about a few times. I like that. I mean, not because he got agitated, but because somebody got agitated.
Yeah, and McCain got agitated at one point too. You want to see these people as human as well, not just as robots reading off the teleprompter.
Well, and they basically what you're saying is the way he handled it allowed them to really stick to their talking points, but it also did, which is unfortunate, it prevented the audience from really getting at these guys and having regular people ask regular questions. Because even the questions that were asked, except for one, which was what do you not know and how will you learn it, except for that, everything was policy wonk stuff, everything else.
Yes, exactly.
Which we've already heard, right?
Yeah, right, exactly. But these guys, you have to remember, given that both of them are senators, they make speeches all the time, and they are both brilliant at not answering a question or turning the answer so that may sound like they're answering the question, but it allows them to go off and say whatever they want to say.
Right, right. You mean like Sarah Palin did when she said, "I don't care what you're asking me. I'm gonna talk straight to the people."
There was an article about that saying that she has not learned, and this is nothing against Sarah Palin, but because these guys debate all the time, and if you're not in that situation, you may not know how to switch an answer.
It's called block and bridge.
It really it's an actual like. Art to be able to do that. So and to say I'm not going to answer that question kind of is jarring to people. And these guys know how not to do that.
It was refreshing to me, but it didn't jar me at all. I liked it. But no, the term is called block and bridge. It's it's a technical.
Yeah.
Actually, it's actually a skill that you learn, a communication skill called block and bridge. And you see the guys, you see the politicians and the political hacks doing it all the time. They block the question and bridge somehow find a way to bridge what was asked over to what they really want to talk about.
Right, right. Yeah, and they're both brilliant at it.
Yeah, they are. And but anyway, I thought we got a little closer to understanding, to seeing a little bit more. It wasn't as good as it could have been. But I thought we did get a little closer to seeing what pushes their buttons.
Maybe.
Last night. You had to work hard for it, but
yeah.
We'll see. It'll be interesting to see how the I haven't seen the early polls on who won. I saw one that said indicated Obama won. I saw another one that said McCain won. But these were pretty rudimentary
polls. Yeah, and I didn't really see like a clear quote unquote winner. You know, nobody fell on their face or made a big gaffe. They
right.
pretty much stuck to their talking points.
And I'll be honest with you, that's kind of what I liked about all of these campaigns.
Really what a debate should be. It shouldn't be sitting there watching, watching for a gaffe for the other guy. It should be about learning more about where they stand on the issues.
They now call that, Joan, a NASCAR moment.
Really?
You know, people watch. Yeah, exactly.
People
are watching. Wonder what people watch NASCAR for, the wrecks. You know,
sure.
They're watching for the NASCAR moment
too. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. When you go to a fight and a hockey game breaks out?
Right. Exactly.
So we got a month to go, Joan, and according to Kiplinger, and it looks like you guys are getting your news from your information from the correct sources, that Barack Obama's lead is widening over John McCain.
Apparently so, and more recent polls have brought that out even more. But, there's still a lot of time left before the election, so I think it's really hard to tell. And another thing that's important to remember is don't even look at the national polls. You need to look at the state by state. How are they doing in each individual state?
The national polls at this moment mean absolutely nothing.
That's right.
They're worthless.
That's right.
There are battleground states. There are change states that are out there that are in place. Some of them are classic battleground states, and some of them are kind of newbies, and they're surprising in some ways.
Well, one is my state. Who ever thought Virginia would be a battleground state? But that's what it's turning into.
Well, Joan, where do you live? You live in Virginia, right?
I live in. That's what I just said. My own state.
I know.
Of Virginia.
I know. So, I mean, there are. Northern Virginia is changing the face of Virginia, is it not?
So is Southern.
Well, not as much.
We'll see.
After the hour, Joan and I are going to go best two falls out of three over this. And by the way, Kiplinger has an outstanding electoral map on the page one of the Kiplinger letter this week. It's beautiful. Full color, too, by the way. Well, okay, two color. Stand by. Here we go. We're back. It's 23 after. Here's Mr. Richard Pennyman to bring us back, I should say. Otherwise known as Little Richard, one of Joan Pride's favorite artists, right, Joan?
I'm not going to answer that question. I want to know how old that song is.
Oh, that song is that's not an old song, Joan. That's a classic.
Okay, you're not answering the question.
It's a classic. It's called Brockton Bridge, Joan. Brockton Bridge. Hey, Joan, let's get back to the electoral map here. Folks, Kiplinger, and congratulations, Joan. I see your handiwork all over this map here.
Right.
Let's talk about the battleground states, because I think this is really important, folks. If you want to watch the presidential election, if you want to see how things are going to roll out, you got to just never mind the national. Obama could be down in the national polls and still win because of these states. And
listeners have to do is they have to get themselves a copy of this Kiplinger letter.
That's exactly right.
And ignore the states that are all colored pretty and look at the states that have no color in them.
That's right, the white states.
Those are the ones that we have to focus on that first Tuesday.
See, Texas is not going to go Democrat. New York is not going to go Republican.
Right.
Oregon
right.
is not going to go Republican. Mississippi is not going to go Democrat. So those states, forget about it. They're where they're going to be. They're red or they're blue, and they're not going to change. But then you have the white states, But then you got the
and by white we mean the color that they are not colored in.
Yeah.
Unlike the red of the blue states, we don't
right.
mean the color of the people in them.
Right. And but you got some leanings. But there's some leaning states. There's some light blue though, Joan. There's only one light red. There's a bunch of light blues that really are critical to this whole thing.
Yeah, and the big one, the real big one to me is Pennsylvania.
Well, here's the thing though, Joan. Pennsylvania has kind of been a toss up for a number of years.
Right.
It's been in play for a number of years,
right.
regardless of which way it went. But here's the news to me. The big news to me is Colorado. See, Colorado has been a red state for a long time.
Oh, really? Okay.
See, Colorado has only recently become, they've elected a lot more Democrats. They got a Democrat governor. They elected a new Democrat senator a couple of years ago. And Joan, do you remember about 7 or 8 years ago, you and I were reporting on how many Californians were moving to Colorado? Do you remember that?
No, I don't remember that.
We did.
But it makes sense.
You brought that up. Kiplinger brought that up. Yeah, I remember these things, and I remember the reason it was noteworthy to me was back when California was having a lot of problems. They were having the brownouts and all that, and businesses were really being hit tough with taxes. A lot of small business owners were moving from California to Colorado, and I wonder. I asked this question, Joan. I posed this question. Have those immigrants, so to speak, from those people who moved from California to Colorado, has that number gone up enough to tip the scales?
Wow,
because California is a blue state.
I have a feeling that when this election is done, there's going to be results that analysts can chew on for probably years.
Colorado, Joan, look at and when it's all said and done, if this race is is close at all. Colorado will be the state that we'll be watching. Number one, because it's a western state, we won't know about it until late in the evening. And Pennsylvania, who knows what's going to happen there? Wisconsin, you guys have got that. You know, Iowa's another state that's been in play for a long time. Wisconsin's been in play. Maine is leaning towards Obama. And
but it's only leaning. It's interesting that it's not strongly for Obama.
Well, see, that's one of the things that a lot of people are pointing out. That if America really was sold on Obama, with all the negative stuff that the Republicans have gotten and that have accrued, unfortunately, to McCain, unfortunately for him, the people that I know who are political operatives say that Obama ought to be up 12 right now instead of 3.
Well,
and so my only point there, Joan, is that's an example of how any little event could change this.
Right, and if I may, I've got three other things to throw at your listeners that could skew all the poll results. Be very suspicious of polls right now for three reasons.
Right.
Number one is something that analysts call the Tom Bradley effect. Tom Bradley was a politician in California, African American, who ran. I don't know if it was for governor or mayor.
Well, he was a mayor of Los Angeles.
He was mayor, and I think he might have run for governor.
I think he did. Yeah.
The polls indicated he was ahead, but he lost. And analysts believed that there were people out there being polled who said they were going to vote for an African American, who, when the time came, did not. So there's one thing to think about. Whether there's been a lot of talk this year about whether the Tom Bradley effect could be working here. But a friend of mine last night said that could be counteracted by what she called the cell phone effect.
Yeah.
And I had forgotten about that.
Yep, that tell us about
people
it.
Being polled are people who have landlines. And people who
are old folks like you and me, Joan.
Pardon me?
Who are old folks like you and me.
Excuse me? Could you repeat that? So the cell phone folks aren't being polled.
Yeah.
And number
three.
And
they're the young people.
And number three, there's early voting in a lot of states. For example, my state of Virginia.
Yeah.
Early voting starts next week.
Mm-hmm. And we won't know about that, will we?
Right.
Can they poll those people? Are they polling them at all?
I wonder.
Yeah. She's so right, folks. And that's my point about the 3%. He's only up 3%. Lots of things could happen. 29 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
He's the man Talkers Magazine says is one of the most important talk show hosts in America.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
He's Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks for hanging out with me. Joan Pride is our guest, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. My websites, by the way, folks, are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Hope you'll check those out and use them to your advantage. We built them for you. No barriers to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in and use our stuff at no cost. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get to smallbusinessadvocate.com. We send it to you every Sunday. Get you ready for the week ahead. It comes by email, by the way. Joan Pride, I want to come back to the map just a little bit more. Because I want to point out a couple of things. I want to talk about these swing states or these battleground states. There are two kinds here. They're the kinds that are leaning one way or the other, and the kinds that are pure toss-ups. And the ones that are surprising is Colorado is not just it's not white, Joan. It's leaning towards Obama.
And that's, I guess, an unusual situation.
It's not even a toss-up anymore, according to Kiplinger. But, Joan, here's a couple of big surprises that are toss-ups right now. North Carolina, Joan, has never been anything but a red state.
Never?
Well, not since we've been calling them red states and blue states. North Carolina has never been in play. Now you're calling it a toss-up. And also Nevada. Now, Nevada's has been a red state for the most part in the past.
Right.
And you know, New Mexico used to be a pretty strong red state. Now it's leaning blue because they got a strong Democrat governor down there.
That's true.
But New Hampshire used to be a red state. Now it's up for grabs.
Well, and Minnesota's an interesting state because I thought it had been blue and then kind of went red. And I thought they had, I guess maybe as recently as a month or two ago, said it would be red. But now it's back to neither.
Yeah, Minnesota went blue last time though, Joan. It was blue.
They've had, you know, the Senate races have kind of gone back and forth after being mostly blue, have kind of been a little red.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought McCain was making headway. I thought that was one of those states where, you know, everybody talks about how Obama's going to change the electoral map. Minnesota was supposed to be one of the states where McCain changed the electoral map. So
right.
It will be interesting to see if he can.
Well, as it stands right now, as the electoral college looks right now in these maps that you produced and others have produced, McCain, if it's like this on election day, McCain would literally have to run the table in the toss-up states.
Like a college football team.
Yeah. He'd have to
run the
perform.
Table.
He'd have to perform the hat trick, and no question about it. And so one of the things, Joan, and by the way, good, outstanding job on the map this week.
Thank you. I worked on that very hard.
I know. Well, it's the best one I've seen, and I've looked at a lot of these. Joan, this one of the reasons why Senator McCain, is behind the eight ball right now is because of the economy.
Yes.
The economic
That's
news
right.
is not good.
Yeah.
We're getting more and more bad news out of Wall Street. Yeah. I like to remind people that Wall Street is not Main Street, ladies and gentlemen. Wall Street hurts Main Street when it gets so bad. There's no question about it. But Wall Street is not Main Street. Main Street's still in business.
But I think we're getting to self-fulfilling prophecy time now.
Okay.
I think we're, and this was a front page of the New York Times today saying that, you know, you're getting the herd mentality now.
And there's another word for that. It's called availability cascade.
Right. And the psychology of the situation is going beyond what the fundamentals say, apparently.
Well, that's what I've been calling negative hysteria, Joan.
Yeah.
And it's all part of, you folks, you've heard me talk about this availability cascade, where when we hear bad news so much, even if it's not true, even if it's hyperbole, even if it's being done to get ratings, we hear it so much that we start believe it to be true, we start taking action on what we think is true, even if it's not. And Joan, that's what I call negative hysteria. And what I've been trying to talk to my audience about is avoiding the negative hysteria and focusing on what I call positive reality.
Right.
Separate the things that are not true from the things that are true and focus on those, because the things that aren't true Are all those? If you get yourself all caught up in that, I'll give you an example, Joan. Have you heard people lately talking about the possibility of a depression?
Yes.
Joan, do you believe that we might have a depression?
No.
Thank you. Excellent answer. Excellent.
I really
answer.
Don't.
Well, it's preposterous, Joan.
I could be wrong, but I really
don't.
Well,
look at what caused the last Great Depression. I mean, people who say we ought to have a depression don't even know what that means. They've never experienced one.
Well, and the regulators are bending over backwards to make sure that those same mistakes aren't made.
And Joan, look at the communication that governments and businesses, markets have with each other these days. We don't have trade barriers up. You're right about what you were saying. And so, folks, we are going to have a tough time. No depression. You can count on that. 20 till, right back. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. The website there at Kiplinger is kiplinger.com, KIPLINGER.com, and just recently celebrated the 85th anniversary of Kiplinger, still as a family-owned small business, basically, after all these years. Joan hasn't been there quite that long. Right, Joan?
Thanks.
And, folks, the letter, the Kiplinger letter, this 85 years old now, is available there at the website. You can subscribe to it by going to the website. You can also find their other publications, the California letter, the tax letter, the agricultural letter, and the biofuels letter, and also a magazine. Right, Joan?
You bet. Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
And lay the phone number on us.
Our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
And if you subscribe, can they still... if you subscribe right now, they might not send you the letter with the map on it, but you could get access to it online, couldn't you?
You could get access to it online, and if you want to call in, and if you really want it, I'll send it to you. I'll find it and send it to you.
Make sure you get it. It's something, yeah. I think you want to... This is, yeah, a letter, Joan. I'm going to actually leave this letter out where I can get my hands on it, during the...
when you're watching those returns.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is a good one. Joan, we've been talking about the election here and some of the things that caused it. We were just talking about the economy. The Federal Reserve, you guys are predicting that they're going to cut rates before Election Day. Now, that's going to be kind of unprecedented, isn't it?
Boy, I'll say.
Because they typically try to stay out of politics. They don't want their decisions to influence the election one way or the other, but I don't think this will, because this is going to be more of a global considered effort by central banks, isn't it?
That's right. That's absolutely right.
So I don't think it'll have as much to be seen as a political ploy, but a lot of people think that they need to do that. And boy howdy, if they lowered rates twice in 98 with Joan, with in an emergency way with the long-term capital management thing, I don't know
right.
why now wouldn't qualify for that.
That's right.
Do you?
No.
Joe, we've got some good news, though, in the economy. Oil is down below $90 a barrel.
Isn't that great? Wow.
Yeah. And, Joan, remember when you and I were talking about this, and we both agreed that the price of oil, when it was in the 140s, had no connection to supply and demand. Joan, supply hasn't come down 40%.
That's right.
I mean, demand hasn't come down 40%.
That's right.
In the last three months.
Yeah.
And so it was nothing more than pure speculation.
Yes, but remember the hysterical people that were saying oil's going to get
$200
$400
yeah.
a barrel. Yeah.
That makes me so mad. See, folks, that's the negative hysteria I'm trying to get you to avoid.
Yeah.
Joan, we've all got to become better consumers of information, don't we?
Boy, I'll say.
And we got people out there who literally, I think, say, maybe if I tell them I think oil's going to go to $400 a barrel, they'll put me on television.
Right.
I mean, I really believe that.
No, I agree.
And I definitely think that they look for people who will say things like that.
Yeah.
I mean, if I say I think it's going to go to 50, they can't put me on unless they've got somebody who says he's wrong, it's going to go to 300.
Right.
You know, that's the way they do things.
So way
be
too
sure,
much good news. Yeah.
Be sure you watch out for that, folks.
Yeah.
Positive reality, not negative hysteria.
Yeah.
Joan, one of the things you guys point out this week is the bankruptcy issues. The bankruptcy law you think will get changed next year. What I'm worried about on bankruptcy, a lot of people are trying to get bankruptcy laws changed where judges can do what they call cram down mortgages against the lenders in the middle of these bankruptcies. And Joan, what I'm worried about right now, there's a lot of paradigm shifts going on right now, but it really upsets me to think that contracts that have been established could be changed by bankruptcy judges.
Well, and that's, you know, we also have the problem. I know this is not exactly on point, but if you think about this whole too big to fail situation with the large institutions, you know, where does the point end where people do have to take responsibility, whether it's a large financial institution or someone or a business or individual declaring bankruptcy?
Yeah.
You know, is the government going to always swoop in and fix everything every time we have problems?
Well, Joan, that's something.
Then we have to get into a whole conversation about moral hazard.
Well, the moral hazard, Joan, I think that ship has sailed, hasn't it?
Oh, a long time ago.
We're not haggling over what kind of people we are. Now we're haggling over the price, I think. But
right.
But you're right about this, and it really concerns me that we become a nation of people that think when something goes wrong, what's the government going to do about it? What's the president going to do about it?
Right.
And Joan, we should be looking in the mirror and solving our own problems. And I was one of the guys, Joan, when the government was putting this $700 billion package together, I was one of the people who was saying, you know what? I don't know that this is a good idea. I hate to argue with Bernanke and Paulson. They're both smart guys. They're right there in the middle of it. They know what's going on. But I've got to believe that letting the marketplace heal itself, as damaging as expensive as that could have gotten, I still believe that would have been the best thing.
And now we'll never know.
We will never know. That's exactly right, because they've now have the camel's nose under the tent.
Oh, I like that.
And I think that government camel, that state camel, is going to push right on through into coming up in the tent, and then we'll have an 800-pound camel in our living room after that. 29, no, it's 10 till the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. Here's Lindsey Buckingham. One man, one guitar. Take us out. Back at 7 till, I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me. Little platters bringing us back there. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, over on page 3, you guys talk about more oversight of financial services is definitely coming. I would call that a gross understatement, Joan. I mean, of all the things you guys have ever said, I mean, that's an understatement.
Joan,
here's a question I have, though.
Yeah.
This is not a block and bridge exactly, but it's a little bit of one. We didn't like how corporations were running their business back in 2002, and we came up with something called Sarbanes-Oxley.
Right.
That was supposed to solve all these problems. Where was Sarbanes-Oxley in all this mess that we're having right now?
Exactly. Well, I'd have to go back and look at what Sarbanes-Oxley did to determine
transparency. The idea was to get people to reveal what was happening. My point is, Joan, all Sarbanes-Oxley did was add millions and millions of dollars of costs to the marketplace, inhibited quality growth in the marketplace, limited the IPOs that were launched in the United States, and kept a lot of small businesses from going public. And obviously, it didn't really prevent CEOs and managers and executives from doing abusive things. You see what I mean? You can't. You're not going to be able to legislate that. At least they weren't able to do it. And so Sarbanes-Oxley, as far as I'm concerned, is a big fat failure.
Okay, not in the letter, but that's your opinion.
That's fine. I specifically said this is my thought.
Okay.
But I think if you think about it, I mean, what was Sarbanes-Oxley supposed to do, and it didn't do it. And so anyway, that's the another thing that you guys talk about though in this financial oversight, the camel. We got this 700-pound camel in our living room now, Joan. The government's in the middle of the marketplace's living room.
Right.
They're going to regulate everything inside, aren't they?
Well, we say not regulation of the broader economy.
Well,
like we wouldn't have price control. So you're saying that's not.
I'm talking about the financial sector, and which is the big daddy of capitalism. Now, small businesses, the mainstream, you know, we do a lot of business here.
Right.
You know, we create a lot of economic impact. But in terms of the formation of large amounts of capital that can move through the economy and really the big daddy stuff, that's Wall Street.
Right.
And most of that's gone now.
Apparently, yeah.
It's gone. And what's left is going to be regulated by the government.
Yeah.
And I think you guys are right to point that out. Joan, energy. Let's talk about this. Large-scale geothermal generators. What's that all about?
Well, I don't know much about what these are, but they are geothermal plants. It says with a combined output of 4,000 megawatts, enough for 4 million homes.
Wow.
And they are located in there's an Ormat Technologies plant located in Nevada that will provide 50 megawatts of electricity.
Now, where's this power coming from? Is this coming from the earth, inside the earth?
You got me. I don't know.
Geothermal. Now, see, a geothermal, Joan, could be nothing. It has to be some kind of heat from the earth, from the center of the earth.
Exactly. That's what it sounds like.
A geothermal. That's what that is.
Right.
So that's interesting. So this could be an alternative to an augmentation of our fuel supply. Joan, here's another one I thought was interesting. Air-powered cars.
It's no pipe dream.
Off-the-shelf technology to use compressed air to drive piston engines. How about that?
That sounds interesting.
You know, Joel Barker reported about this a while back, where they loaded up all this air pressure in a cylinder, and the engine kept pushing air pressure into the cylinder. A small engine would do that. But when you stopped, you know, you'd pull up to stop, the pressure would ease off. But when you started, basically what you were doing is releasing the pressure, not into pistons but into the drivetrain.
Wow.
So you know, and then all the engine does, a small engine just kept pressure loaded into the canister.
That sounds interesting.
It sounds like it's workable, doesn't it?
Yeah, sure.
So why don't we have more of those, Joan?
Good question. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hey, Joan, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
Thank you, Jim.
Thanks for the map, too, by the way.
Hey, you're more than welcome. Enjoy
it. Work on a new one for us next week, okay?
We will.
In your spare time.
Oh, sure.
Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And I want to remind you, folks, avoid the negative hysteria. Focus on the positive reality.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.